This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am John Batchelor, welcoming Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, comment on the war in Europe. Six capitals, six points of view. We begin with one warrant, said to be among the documents distributed by now an alleged member of the Air National Guard, said to be is a document for real-time intelligence dated late February of this year. The document says that by April 13th past, Ukrainian air defense will be out of Buk missiles. By May 3rd, Ukrainian air defense will be out of S-300 missiles. Implicit is that the air defenses in Ukraine are fragile to expiring. I mention this fact because the war in Europe has taken on the flavor of a forever war, except there are voices of dissent. One is in Hungary, Viktor Orban, who does not at this point support a continuing conflict. Another is the president of France, Emmanuel Macron, looking to make a deal with Beijing, which is a close ally of Moscow. There are other voices going in different directions. So, an end to this war is desired by some, questioned by others, and an unending war is never popular. Professor, a very good evening to you. Your remarks about where we are in the war now, and then we'll turn to Moscow. Good evening.
Good evening. Well, my first observation would be that this has, in fact, not been a very long war so far. If you compare it to the American Civil War, to World War I, to World War II, even to the Korean War, the Vietnam War, it's not a long war. The problem is, or the thing that throws people off, is that at the beginning, Putin expected that it would last a weekend, and I think Washington expected that it would last a week, and it would conclude with Ukraine being conquered, the United States imposing some sanctions for a week or two, and then much lamenting and crocodile tears, but a general sense of relief, shame and relief at the fact that an independent country's sovereignty had been flagrantly violated by a country that was on record signing any number of international agreements not to do that. Now, if we look at a little bit larger lens, what we see is what's going on now is that the war is widening geographically. And let me just mention that it's widening in Russia's northwest, that is to say in the area of Finland, Sweden, and so forth. And this is something that Russia has not faced since the time of Peter the Great, who died in 1625. It's also widening in the central region directly across from Ukraine with the very important statements by Poland about her military intention to become the most powerful nation, most powerful army in Europe, and now also to Russia's southwest in the Armenia-Azerbaijan area, which is important because this is what connects Azerbaijan and everything to its east to Turkey. And Turkey is a traditional ally of Armenia, but the Turks are very strong, and the area that's being contested, Natrivan, is separated from Azerbaijan proper by Armenia. And it's sort of like Prussia after 1815, when Prussia was in the far east of Germany, but she also controlled the remnants of the Federation of the Rhine that Napoleon had been created. And in between the two halves of Prussia was Hanover. Needless to say, Hanover didn't last very long. So the war is widening geographically. The internal politics are becoming more volatile everywhere. People are tired of it. They want it to end. But a forever war, this is such a 21st century locution. I mean, this is absurd. Wars are long, you can't, once they get going, you can't turn them off as easily as you might imagine. So politics are growing more volatile, even as the war is widening geographically. And this means that termination becomes even more difficult than I've said in previous broadcasts. I think we have to look at war termination here, because that's how it's going to end, with termination, if I may repeat myself. And at the moment, there is no military decision in sight.
We turn quickly to Moscow. Moscow's point of view, because it's talking about mobilizing more troops, because it's talking about fighting on through the springtime, what is Moscow's point of view?
Well, I think that in Moscow, I think that they are mostly concerned with how to exit. But they want, in a sense, they want to exit without paying the price. But we can see that their expectations are lowered, because Victory Day, which is May 9th, and which has been a centerpiece of Mr. Putin's attempt to whip up great Russian nationalistic enthusiasm for this stupid war, for his stupidity in starting the war, May 9th, that has been canceled all through Russia. So they feel it would be embarrassing to have a triumphal military parade at a time when they're having this stuffing beaten out of them in Ukraine. We also have the question of whether Russia is introducing certain new weapons, such as thermobaric weapons, chemical weapons, and so forth, into Ukraine. But that would all fit in with what I've been saying for the last few weeks, which is that Putin wants somehow to snatch a victory out of this defeat, but he doesn't want to do it the way that you would do it if you were doing it in a deliberate way, which is to say, reconstitute your military, build up your ammunition, and then carry out a deliberate campaign. He's looking for some kind of magic solution. So I think what we see in Russia is a lot of dissent that we don't understand around Putin. And we have one of the papers says that Putin has got cancer, and that at one point he's had chemotherapy. Of course, we have no idea, and these leaks are mostly worthless. But he's had meetings trying to get Mr. Shoigu and Mr. Prigozhin to agree. Their troops are sometimes fighting with each other in Ukraine. That's not a good thing. If they start fighting with each other in Russia, then we've really got a problem. And it's said that Mr. Gerasimov is consulting with Putin, but we don't know what the palace politics are in Russia. But we do know this, that there's no obvious way that a stable Russian ruling group can be constituted out of the mess that we have now there.
Let's go to Kyiv, Professor. Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, commenting on six capitals, six points of view, the second year of the war in Europe. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.